I don't know if you picked up on that, but the first reading is from the conclusion, or the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, and the Gospel was the conclusion of the Gospel of Mark. And the Ascension, which we celebrate today, is the fulcrum between those two things. It's the end of the incarnation of God the Son into Jesus of Nazareth in that external body, and the beginning of the incarnation of the Son in the church, which is his body. So it's the transition from the body of Jesus to the body of Christ, the church. And the Ascension is what makes all of that possible. So Ascension and Pentecost are just basically one and the same feast. We celebrate Pentecost next week. But one, you can't have one without the other. Jesus tells his disciples, I must ascend so that the Spirit may come. And the liturgy then begins with the Ascension. And what I mean by liturgy is that great self-offering prayer of intercession that Jesus offers at the right hand of the Father for all eternity. He's there already praying for us so that we'll get there too. Everything that's true of Jesus is also true of us. So he tells his disciples in that gospel story, you will do great things. You'll have power over serpents and over evil. You'll raise from the dead. You'll do everything that I have done because you will be members of Christ's body. And this liturgy that is offered in the heavenly liturgy, at which Christ is the eternal high priest, is offering himself for the world, for all of creation, and especially for humanity. But we, in our liturgy here, join in that great liturgy. And so every preface at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer always ends, and so we join the angels and the saints in proclaiming your glory as we acclaim. So this heavenly liturgy is our liturgy, and ours is the heavenly liturgy. And the liturgy is the return to the Father. Our second reading is from Ephesians, and in several sections in Ephesians, Paul talks about this great overarching vision that he understands, that everything emanated out from God, the original unity. And for 14 billion years or so, it has been extending out in a great evolutionary expanse beyond our imagination. I mean, when you read science about the vastness of the universe, it's incredible. And all those billions of years, but all of that is going to return to God. And the return begins with the resurrection and the ascension and the sending of the Spirit. So the turning point of all that, that outflow of love, it's like a great river that flows out from God, the flow reverses and it returns to God in Christ. So it began in Christ. Christ is the Word spoken by the Father in which creation began. He's the Big Bang, you might say. But he's also the end. And in this in-between time, between the first and final comings of Christ, everything is being assumed under his headship. And that's what Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we heard a few minutes ago is talking about. One of the English translations of that is recapitulation. And I love that term. From the Latin capitis, meaning head. We get the word cap from that. We get the word capital from that. The head of Kansas is in Topeka, the capital. The head of the United States is in Washington, D.C. It's the capital. The head of the body, the head of the cosmos, of the entire universe, is Christ. But so much of it has been beheaded, you might say. We've lost our way. We could call that original sin. Or another way of saying that is we have put on the wrong head. And the wrong head is the world, it's Satan, it's evil, it's death, it's fear, it's selfishness and greed, you know. We've been headed in that wrong way for so long. But Christ is our true head. And so everything in the universe is gradually being assumed under the headship of Christ. It's being re-headed, rightly headed. And once that has occurred, and we don't know how many billion years more that will be, only God knows. We heard that in the gospel. But when that happens, after everything has been brought into the one body of Christ, under the one head, then he will hand it over to the Father so that God may be all in all. And so we're now participating in that return. We're participating in that great liturgy in which Christ is reheading everything, including us. And so we are allowing ourselves to be redirected. And it begins in baptism, and it continues in Eucharist, and it continues in our daily prayer life and in our actions and our gradual growth. And it has to do with dying. All love is paschal. We say that here often. All love is paschal. All love is about letting go. It's about losing self into the other. And that's what's been happening in the Trinity for all eternity. That's what's gradually happening to the universe and us now. This falling into him. Letting go of our self-determination. You know, Jesus shows us what this looks like in a human person. He is absolutely not about his own will, but the will of the Father. He is not concerned in the least bit about himself, but about us. He's concerned about everything but himself. That's what that looks like. And that's our destiny too. That's who we are. That's what our nature is. To be a human is to be for the other, not for oneself. But we've got the wrong head on, and so we're very selfish, and we're greedy, and we're fearsome. And, you know, Jesus says over and over again in the Gospels, be not afraid. And so we shouldn't be afraid. We've been baptized into him. We eat and drink him weekly in the Eucharist. We know intellectually all about this, but to translate that from our head to our heart is a lifelong process. We shouldn't be afraid of anything, and yet we are. We're afraid of losing our identity. We're afraid of our finances collapsing. We're afraid of people, what people think of us. We're afraid of losing. We're afraid of failing. The stack of fears we have is phenomenal. And we know up here that we shouldn't have those fears, but it's hard to let go of them anyway. We also talk here often about that second half of life. The first half is the building up of my identity, learning how to clothe myself, to tie my own shoes, learning how, you know, getting educated and all the years of schooling we spend and getting a job and getting married and, you know, building up, having my own place to live and being able to take care of my family and all those kinds of things. That's the building up of the first half of life. But at some point in life, you come to this realization that that isn't who you are, that that doesn't determine you, that all of that really doesn't matter. And that's when you start letting go. You have to do a good job of building the first half first. You can't start letting go at 5. You have to be 45 or whatever. But if you did a good job of building that first half, then there's an immense freedom in falling into the second half, letting it go. It's been described by some spiritual writers as falling upward. This great return to the Father is letting go of myself and letting go of everything that I thought was important, that everything that I thought saved me, and falling upward into God. And the ascension is when that begins to happen. Because that's when we let go of the earthly Jesus and become the body of Christ. On Easter morning, Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, "Don't cling to me." And what he means is don't cling to this earthly body of Jesus, but transition yourself into faith and believe in his Son, Christ, and allow yourself to become him, to become his body, to join the great liturgy, the sacrifice of praise, and offer your own bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the language of St. Paul again. Offer yourselves, die, let go, and allow God to become your all.